The following is a teaching by Ivan Apana, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban South.
Let's continue hearing the word of the Lord this morning and receiving the word of God. Hallelujah. We thank God for design, order, and glory. We know that God has already, before we were created in our mother's womb, He had a design for each one of us. No child is sent to the earth, whether the child is born in wedlock, out of wedlock, wherever the child is born, in a manger or in a palatial building, that child is sent with a purpose locked inside of him and her. So every individual has a design attached to their lives. The first thing you must understand that you've been made in the image and likeness of God. When God said, let us, which means Elohim, made up of three in one, Elohim, God said, let us make man in our image, plural, right? Corporate image. The corporate image means the image of Father is in you, the image of Son is in you, the image of Spirit is in you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So each one said the same thing unanimously and together in a corporate voice. They said, let us make man. The word God there is Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. It means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in one. Okay? They work in one. So you may ask me this morning, is there three gods? No, there are three people that work in one. When Jesus was at the pool of being baptized, the Bible says there's a voice came from above. So that's one person. The other person went into the water. The third person came as a dove. Not a dove didn't come upon him, but came gently as a dove upon him. So there are three that operate together as Elohim. This is a mystery. And one of the greatest mysteries that theologians are still grappling with it. There are different schools of thought in it. But we know today that they are one. Know you not that your God is one, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, I think. Deuteronomy 4, 6. Know you not that God is one. So yeah, you are made in the image of God. Just imagine and take a moment to analyze that. That you have the nature of God inside of you. You have the nature of the Son inside of you. You have the nature of the Holy Spirit. The characteristics of each of the God in one is inside of you, and you can operate at a supreme level. That has been given to each one of us seated here. However, we have somehow been polluted and corrupted in our files, internal files, by the flesh, by the Adamic nature. And we know that the Adamic nature always covers themselves in fig leaves. And somehow God does not want that. He wants to cover us with His glory. Now, glory is not a feeling that appears here and there. The glory of God manifests through His sons. Okay, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, Paul says the intention of Jesus going to the cross and dying as the Son of Man is so that there will be many sons of God that will emerge into glory. Okay, so bringing sons to glory is the end time plan of God. Bringing sons to glory. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 10. Hebrews 2:10. You will see, for it was fitting for him, capital letter H-I-M, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Now, this is where this series are going, where we will now understand the pattern and the design of God, adjust and alter ourselves according to that design, so there's order in us. And when there's order in us, the glory now is reflected through us. Arise, shine, for the glory has come upon you and I. So glory is always revealed through sons, the sons of God. So it is imperative also that we get to understand the whole mechanics, the principles, and the dynamics of sonship, because that's where God wants us to come to, where we are sons of God. Okay, so we'll understand all of these things. And so we have the image of God, we have the DNA of God in us. So if we are made in the likeness and the image of God, it means that you and I have the DNA of God in us. So if our files are corrupted, we have to get them fixed up. We have to get them altered. Sometimes it means getting rid of our hard drive completely and bringing a new hard drive, so our lives become compatible to the standard of God. That is where we are going to. Not your standard and my standard, but the standard of God, which is the standard of righteousness. Okay? What is righteousness? Not right standing with God. Not right living, rather. Not right living. It's not right living. Many people that are outside our faith, they live right. They live better than us. They're so conscious of how they eat, how they talk, how they live. It's us. So righteousness is not the right living part. It's adjusting yourself and bringing yourself to the standard of God, the righteous standard of God. Okay, you got that? So this is what my intention as a speaker in this house is to bring to you in a very palatable way, some of the things that God, as far as our alignment is to what He wants us to be, say, and do. Okay, it is difficult to live this life, especially post-COVID. Many of us are going through torrid times, boisterous situations in our lives, and sometimes it is unbearable, the various things that we are going through. We know that this is the end time, and Pastor Val has been sharing with us on our awareness because of the end time, how to be aware. It somehow seems that Satan, our enemy, has unleashed so many of his potent demonic spirits for this end time. Remember that Satan has an hierarchy. Principalities. Remember that Satan has an hierarchy. Principalities. Are somehow the lowest level, the first level. Then it gets deeper. Then it gets deeper. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are high-ranking demonic spirits in the kingdom of darkness. They are unleashed against servants of God, against churches. And one of the greatest thing is apostasy, where people are cold towards God. When we don't participate in a corporate gathering, when we come together, it means that we are losing regard and respect for God. When we are worshiping God on a Sunday morning in a corporate gathering, you're not doing it for your spouse, you're not doing it for the pastor, you're not doing it for anyone else, and even for yourself, you're not doing it for yourself, because know you not that you are not your own. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you come and you are wondering, when there's intense worship, you are draining the environment. You are sapping the spiritual energy. When you have not put right and come, there is a pulling back. Now we all go through torrid times, fights, as we said. These unleashing of these demonic spirits sometimes wrecks us up, drops our energy levels, our enthusiasm, our zeal, our passion somehow drops. That's why God has given us His grace. That's why His mercies are new every morning. That's why His favorite name is Father. Because He chooses to forgive you. And today as we get into the Word, we will see how God's mercy is so intriguing and so overwhelming that we cannot match what He pours out to us every day of our lives. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, there's no reason for me to go back. And in this last time, brothers and sisters of the faith, it is essential that you don't mess your lives up. I know that you go through difficult times. I know that you feel like of your miracle. Greater is God that lives in us than he that is in the world. And so I implore you today, as the fight gets intense, as the days are ebbing away, and as we fast coming to the end of the age, we pray that you will not just see the kingdom, but you will enter the kingdom of God. You will enter the kingdom of God where you enjoy the power of His righteousness in you. You'll enjoy the joy of the Lord. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is the state of your soul, but joy is the infilling of your spirit man. And when your joy fills you, that's why Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." When you're going through difficult times, don't look to your spouse who troubles you. Don't look to your children that upset you. Don't look to anyone else. Look to the Lord. That's why David encouraged himself when he was going through the most difficult time, when his wife and children were captured at Ziklag and the city was burned by the enemy, the Amalekites. He encouraged himself and he said, "I will look unto the hills from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." Some of you are feeling weak today. Some of you are feeling empty. Some of you are feeling guilty. Some of you are feeling condemned. Some of you are feeling like, "I don't feel like going on. Where is God?" Hold on today. May there be an awakening in your spirit man today. A quickening in your spirit man today. The Holy Ghost is here and He can quicken you. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you are positioning in the valley, you'll want to give up. But today, yeah, we are sending a rope down to pull you out. Because when you're on the mountaintop, you always have others around you. And today, to pull you out, to say, "Brother, go on. Go on. It's okay, you messed up, but you can come out of that today, because there's a God whose mercy is new every morning, and this is a God we serve. He is our Jesus who gave His life on the cross." And do you know something, beloved? Let it be known to you today that as He hung on the cross, He called out your name and He said, "I."
Amen.
You have messed up yesterday, but tomorrow is your virgin space. And you can enter that space as a new man, as a fresh man with fresh desires. Listen, the hierarchy of the demonic order comes to me. You can't make it. But here today, Jesus, our Savior, our strength, our hope, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, is amongst us. And He wants to help you through. This is a message, maybe not for you. You all got it all organized. But there's somebody you'll meet tomorrow that may need this tomorrow to tell them, you have the DNA of God in you. You have the order of God inside of you. And you can overcome anything that you're going through. I pray to God today that all of you that's seated here, and there are many empty seats, and those seats must be filled with those that can come in and catch this vision of seeing that there's hope for them. Somebody that needs this today will understand. You don't have to stay in the valley of indecision. You don't have to stay in the valley where you are disorientated. You don't have to stay in the valley where you're experiencing famine, drought, loneliness. you can make your way up to the mountain top. Your elevation from the mountain top, that elevation will reorientate your sight. Let me tell you something. Where you are today is not your real reality. It's your transitionary point. It is a point where God is working on you for your reality. Where is your reality? Your reality is up there. You can't be bogged down here. And you can't make this point where you are presently your final destination. You have to see the reality and make that the place of your journey towards that point. And that's where God wants you to be. Your purpose, your destiny, you've got to get there. You know, I know that many of our parents and grandparents told us, stay where you are comfortable. At least you'll have something to eat, somewhere to stay. But God is saying something else. Our grandparents and our parents used a different measuring tool concerning the future of our lives. God's tool is different. God uses purpose, destiny to work you through. That's why you could be the worst person at this transitionary point, but God can change you for your destiny that lies ahead. Now let me go to a passage of scripture and point this out to you in Genesis chapter 13, talking about sight. Genesis chapter 13. And I'll paraphrase the story and zoom in on some one or two of the verses. Abraham and Lot were very close. Lot was a nephew of Abraham. They were very close. And you know that Abraham was a very rich man. He was extremely rich. And we are of that order. Which means that you're a son of Abraham. Which means that you have a right to the inheritance that is perpetuated generation after generation from Abraham. I just put this verse up for me, please. Galatians 3:29. Just to tell you that because Abraham was rich, you are rich. Father Abraham was rich. Poverty is a state of your mind. And when you're in the valley, your mind tells you certain things that you believe. Because your biggest friend is yourself. Your place is a cave that you have made so that you could be secure and safe, but it's not the place God wants you to be in. Okay, let's go there. And if you are Christ, put your hand up. How many of you are Christ? You belong to Christ. You belong to Christ? You belong to Christ, okay? If you are Christ, then you are. If you are Christ, then you are. And what is an heir? CJ will tell us. A heir inherits the estate. He was a very wealthy man. You and I, because we are of Christ, we have a right to the wealth of Abraham. That's what the scripture is saying. We are heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to catch a very important principle as I want to go into deeper into the word. A very important principle. When you're feeling that everything is going wrong in your life, you start speaking God's word back to him. And that's when he wakes up. You start to speak his word back to him. Father, you said in your word that you are the God that heals me. You promised me that. You are a good father. You promised me. So I use that promise to speak it back to him, and then he heals us. And I'll show you exactly how Moses used this technique to cause God to change his mind. You asked me to trust in you with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, if I acknowledge you, I'll be a winner. You told me in your word, oh God, I'm pointing the word back to him. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this is a promise for each one of you. Give me one child that will be schooled in the universities of this land, and give me another child that will be schooled in the school of the Spirit. In the days to come, it is going to become totally revealed that the child that is schooled in the school of the Spirit is going to excel and become the heir of the promise. There's a notice for you, parents. Don't ignore and place God's economy below the economy of this world. I implore you. Don't evaluate and place a greater emphasis on a university degree as compared to your child coming and sitting listening to a word of God that comes from the throne room. You see, it is very important that we get delivered. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Father, you said that if I spend enough time in your word, and if I meditate, which means I regurgitate it, I speak it into my mind and my life while I'm driving. Meditation is not vocal. Meditation is you're speaking inside of you. Are you with me? When you pray, you don't speak inside of you, you say. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say. Because you articulate, you vocalize, you speak the word of God as you are praying. But when you meditate, it's an internal conversation. You got that? I hope I'm putting it right. But then I go to God and I say, in this, if I meditate on your word, if I study your word, and I observe to do what's in your word, you said, Father, you said that I will be prosperous and I will be successful. This is the antidote for any business that is failing. This is the solution when things do not work out. You go and you reflect the word of God to him. And we will get to there and we'll say this right now. Yeah, let me just go to Genesis chapter 13. Jesus, there was a lot of fight with the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham, because they were getting so big in the inheritance, the wealth, number of sheep. And those days, the number of sheep you have, number of cattle you had, told the level of your wealth. And so they were fighting, and they came to a Lot, and Abraham had a meeting, and they said to themselves, we'd rather split. We're too big to stay together. Nice place, huh? Lot, you take your wealth. Whatever you choose, you can have. So Uncle Abraham speaking to nephew Lot and says, you choose first. And Lot was so excited about this agreement and arrangement that he just used his own cognitive ability, his own initiative, his own thinking to choose what he wants in this arrangement. And let's go to verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes. Now I want you to underline that. It's a very important part of your development going forward. Because what you see so quickly, as you want, you see, none of us as humans want delayed gratification. We want instant gratification. As soon as an opportunity comes our way, we don't go to God, we don't wait, we don't seek his face. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up. I want you to go and study the whole behavioral pattern of an eagle and get you to understand why scripture is using the aspect of an eagle. They shall mount up like eagles. You see why chickens scratch for stuff on the ground. Eagle always looks for its food from a height. Hallelujah. That's why you will mount up like an eagle and never be like a chicken on the ground, scratching for this and that, and sometimes consuming trash. They shall wait upon the Lord. So when an opportunity comes your way, you don't go to God first. One more zero on the figure. Let me take it. You see, because you lift up your own eyes. And many of our problems come because God has given you choice, but you did not choose with consultation with him. And that's why there's either a delay in your entrance into what God has for you, or there is slow movement into what God has for you, or there is complete stalling. Because when you lift up your own eyes, there's always going to be, it may look attractive. Opportunities may look attractive. He may look attractive. She may look attractive to you. They may look attractive to you. That place may look attractive to you. But if it's no God in it, every good idea may not necessarily have God in it. And let me tell you something. Satan can give you the world. Imagine what he did to Jesus while Jesus was fasting. What did he do? He said to Jesus, come up to them. He took him up to the mountain in his mind. He couldn't hold Jesus' hand and physically take him. Jesus was in the wilderness. But he took Jesus in his mind. He started to go in his mind and say to him, come with me to the top of this mountain. You see all these things here? I can give it to you. So God can also give you, devil can also give you good things, but you may not be godly. Go and read that story. Huh? He has power, but he has no authority. And he had the power before. And you know, what God gives is without repentance. And so each one of us have that kind of gifting in us. And sometimes you wonder why gifting works and no character. And so today, we all need to work on both things. Our character simultaneously, side by side, with our gifting in the name of the Lord. And so Lot lifted his eyes and he saw all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Easy story, right? You understand that Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But everything that looked good for Lot did not end up good. He looked through his natural sight. Because what he saw in his natural intrigued him and excited him. Little did he realize that he was entering into a place where there was extreme wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, in that city where he went, he lost his wife in that place. His wife turned to a pillar of salt. He lost his son-in-laws because they refused to leave when God was meeting out judgment on the cities that he chose with his own eyes. And then you know that his daughters were impregnated by him when they made him drunk, and they made their father sleep with them and impregnated them, and they gave birth to one of which was Moab. And Moab means what, father? What's this thing about my father Lot? He's just another man. And you will come and you'll see this in the story in Exodus 32, where the people said, this Moses. And after Lot goes, powerful, verse 14. You are heirs of the promises that God gave to Abraham because he was faithful enough to allow God to lift up his eyes. Lot lifted his own eyes, self-gratification, gratifying the flesh, entitlement, and all these, as I will open up right now, are signs of a narcissistic behavioral pattern. And I'm going to explain that to you today if I can. As compared to Abraham, you must thank Abraham. When you meet him on the other side, when you all are talking to each other, you tell him, thank you for choosing to listen and hear God's voice and allow God to open up. Because today I am where I am. I enjoyed a good life on earth. I took your word. I lived it out. I was wealthy on the earth because of what you accomplished for me. None of you are going to face Jesus, poor, depraved, right? All of you are going to be first class distribution centers. You know, when you become a distribution center, Pastor Lionel, you have more than enough. If you have nothing, you can't be a distribution center. You must have more than enough for you to use and to distribute. In each of our lives, there's two portions, I said last week. There's a seed portion, there's an eating portion, a bread portion, and a seed portion. The bread portion is for you to enjoy. God desires that you live comfortable. God desires that you have good things, right? But there's a seed portion that will bring your harvest. That seed can never stay in a bottle on a windowsill. I remember when we were in primary school, they used to have this raffles. They come with seeds in the. You must count how many seeds in that bottle. You remember? I was in Pochepsin in primary. Other schools also did that. You have to guess and pay 20, I think 1 cent for the raffle. And you guess that, and you win a prize. But those seeds will stay in the bottle forever and ever. If they stay in the bottle, the bottle becomes the container for them. That seed was never meant to be in that bottle. That seed was meant to be in the ground. Your seed was never meant to be in your bank account. It was meant to go where God wants it to go. And so that the bread portion, you can eat it. You can do what you want. But the seed portion is for your harvest. Your harvest. There's a harvest. I mean, when you think about harvest that God has for you, when you think that you are heir of Abraham's riches and wealth, come on, God has given us all the means of living above our circumstance. Hallelujah. And then when the elevation in Abraham's life was changed, God spoke to him and God said, now, I'm lifting up your eyes. Everything you see becomes your reality. And so Abraham saw, where is it? Abraham saw, put it up please. Keep that verse on. Verse 14 of Genesis 13. Don't take the verses off these key verses. Just leave it on now, Dave. But the men of Sodom, no. Then Abraham went up. No. Verse 13, 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated him. See, some of your breakthroughs will come when there's a separation. You have to get rid of some things and someone that is in your way that occupies your space. And if you've got to get rid of some things. Even if people come, visitors come for a weekend to your house, you must say, I've got my grain bag for the week. I'll prepare the breakfast. You can have breakfast. Lie down in bed. I'll be back at 12 for your lunch. But I have to get to the house of God. Come on. They'll respect you more. You have to separate some things. Because when you come to a corporate environment, it's not about just coming and clicking, ticking something. I have to be in church. What will pastor phone me in the afternoon and ask me where I'm? This is not it. You come to meet with God. You've come to bring your worship. You've come to this place to celebrate Jesus with your brothers and sisters and the family of God. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had said, notice, God did not speak to Abram while Lot was with him. And Lot was his nephew, family member. His own nephew. You know that Abram took his 318 sons from his house as soldiers and went and fought for Lot when Lot was captured. Lot, Abram loved him a lot. But there comes a time when sentimentalism will be in your way for your breakthrough. You have to now separate sentimental things and say, God, I'm ready for what you're about to do for me. After separated, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. I'm going to give you all that you see. When God lifts up your eyes, what you see is your becomes your possession. And God says, lift up your eyes from where you are. Look northward, look southward, look eastward, look westward. Everything that you now see through your spiritual eyes becomes your possession. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, when you put God first and you listen to Him and you consult with Him, in your life partner, in your job career, in where you have to stay, all important decisions. You're not your own. When you make your own decisions without consulting with Him, isn't it we get into trouble? So here we are. And that's why we are here as pastors and preachers and teachers. We're here to guide you. And sometimes messages may not come as a pat in the back. It'll come fast and furious as offensive sometimes to your flesh. But you have to accept it because God is speaking to align you to His divine purpose. If this is where God wants you to be and you're somewhere there, this you're going this way, the preacher through his preaching have to pull you and you say, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. I will do my own thing. But I'm pulling you to bring you in alignment to where God wants you. This is hard work. Because end of the day, God has placed you under my care. And it is my responsibility to see that you make it over the line. None must perish. Everyone has to make it. It's difficult. Some of you cannot manage one child. How do one man manage a whole church? To see that they make it over the line. I know some churches just provide a service. They're not concerned whether you make it over the line or not. But yeah, we are concerned. That's why if it's not me, we have the elders. We're not elders, we've got workers. We've got cell leaders. We've got a system to help you to make it over the line. And so God comes into that. So your reality is not where you are. It's what you're going to become. I want you to work towards that. Some things you have to shake off. You have to shake off. Please, I keep telling you, and I'm telling myself today, I'm preaching to myself, and I implore you by the mercies of God, don't be left behind. Two, don't live defeated lives while you're here on the earth. Live overcoming lives. Live lives where you are victorious. You are admirable. People around you admire you. People say, but see, this guy is an example to me. Yeah, get rid of bad languages. Get rid of bad ways. We all have to do that today in the name of the Lord. I know the fight is on. You are weakened by the fight, but you can get up. Oh my God, if the Holy Spirit is on your side, you have 9 lives. You can wake up. Hallelujah. A man shall fall 7 times, but he can rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good man can rise up. And I tell you today, we have good people in this place. You don't have to stay where you are. Don't have to stay where you are. You can rise and get up. So I pray today in the name of the Lord that you today will catch this. For the land, verse 15, for the land which you see, Abraham, for the land which you see northwards, south, east, and west, everything you see when you change your elevation, when you separate yourself from those things I want you to separate from. When you listen to me and I listen to what I want, when you do that, verse 15, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. And then we go to Galatians, and Paul receives this revelation and says, if you're of Christ, you are of Abraham's seed. And everything that Abraham had, you can have. You have by virtue of the arrangement, the design that God had for you and I. And so we have to bring that to order. And the revealing of that order is seen on the glory in your life. And I pray to God that you will do just that. Amen. Verse 2 of the same chapter. Go back, verse 2, and read together with me. Read together. Read it, please. Read slowly and carefully. Let it sink into your spirit. Abraham was, chapter 13, verse 2, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, if he was very rich, all of his riches now is realized in his descendants, which is you and I. So the Jews are not descendants because the Jews are not in Christ. Principle is, if you are in Christ, you are heir of Abraham's seed. It's not the natural Jews. It's those that are in Christ. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 28 for me, please. Romans 2, 28. Get the order right. Get to know your purpose. And you can have all of this. Isn't it wonderful this morning? That is two realities. One, a human reality, and the next is a godly reality in your life and my life. Verse 28. Read, please. Now, stop right there. Every Jew that is circumcised in his flesh is a Jew. So you cannot be a Jew if you're not circumcised in the foreskin of your productive, reproductive organ. Now, you can't be a Jew, everyone. And that identifies you as a Jew. That's why when Joshua brought them to the Jordan River at the entrance, he had to make sure that everyone was circumcised so that they had the badge upon them, I am a Jew, to enter the promised land. Because along the way, there were people of different tribes, even the enemy's tribe, started joining in, but they were not circumcised. Even some Egyptians followed the Jews at night. Are you with me? So they had to be circumcised. Now, Paul is saying, come on. And you know, Paul had a lot of fight with Peter, because Peter was pro-Jew and Paul was pro-Gentile. Are you with me? And that's why in the scripture, he's saying to us, a true Jew is not one who comes from a real estate called Israel, who is circumcised in the flesh. A true Jew is one who is circumcised, verse 29, but he's a Jew who is one inwardly. Ha ha. So all of you seated here today have been born again, set free, changed, and delivered on the inside. The foreskin of your heart has been circumcised. And because of that, the foreskin of your heart and not your reproductive organ has been circumcised, you are a true Jew. So it's no more about placing emphasis on Jews in Israel. It's about placing emphasis on the true Jews that are inwardly circumcised, that now become the people of God, the government of God, the nation of God. Hallelujah! If you belong to Christ, first point, then you circumcised in your heart, then you're a true Jew. Hallelujah. So let's read that again. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So your approval as a true Jew does not come from the letters and the constitutions of the Jews. It comes from God above. God approves you today. God dishes out things to you today. God affirms you today. God gives you whatever you need. Therefore, there's no reason for you to ever be at a place of despondency, questioning your identity and saying, I don't know who I am. No, you are a wealthy Jew who has an inheritance, who can overcome, that even as we are on the verge of a famine throughout the globe, you can live because from above, your resource from above. That's what I'm teaching you today. That's what I'm imploring you through our messages, that you don't have to be despondent, depressed, discontent, because God has already secured your identity. The barns in heaven are full, waiting for you to open the tap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you to receive now from above. Stand with me. I think I'm going to stop right there. Say after me, I'm Abraham's seed. I'm of Christ. I enjoy the riches of Abraham. I'm an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Say this after me, I'm seated in heavenly places now. Immediately you have access to heavenly places. That's what scripture says. Ephesians 2:6. You know why these are promises? You start to marinate yourself in these scriptures. you start to galvanize into this. You start to oil yourself. Your inner man is oiled and greased with these type of scriptures. You start to interrogate them and you say to yourself, this is what God says to me. I'm now going to put it into my life. I'm not going to say one negative thing about my future. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, my God is able. And if you're going through issues and problems, talk to God right now. Talk to God. He will make it all right for you. And He raised us up together with Himself and made us sit together in the heavenly places that are in Christ Jesus. So why are you battling? Why are you struggling to understand this? You're not acquainting yourself with the Word. You're not taking His word. You're not believing His word. That's why. You see, you can't just articulate scriptures without your connection. You first connect to Him and then use His word. Even with the name of Jesus, you first connect with Him and then you use His name. Are you with me?